Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Now, as we've already mentioned this morning, with the centenary commemoration of the death of General Michael Collins taking place next Sunday at the monument in Ballinabloch, it's timely for us this morning to talk a little bit about the big fella. Joining me is Tim Crowley, and Tim runs the Michael Collins Centre in Clonakilty. Good morning to you, Tim.
Good morning, Patricia. How are you getting on?
I'm doing well, and you're very welcome to the programme. I suppose, firstly, tell me your own family connections. You're directly related to Michael Collins.
Well, as we say, we share a drop-in of common blood after 100 years, after stretching out a bit. I suppose the best way to explain it, my great-grandmother was Marianne McCarthy, and she was the second cousin of Marianne O'Brien, who was the mother of Michael Collins.
Okay.
So, obviously, after 100 years, it's stretching out a bit. But my grandmother, in particular, was always very proud and always talking about the connection. So, it is there.
Yeah, so you would have grown up listening to her stories?
We would have, yeah. And I suppose, when I got a bit older, then I started reading up about him. I'm kind of that's the way my brain is wired. I suppose I'm a historian by nature. And when you start reading history books, this guy jumps out at you, as an extraordinary figure.
So talk to me a little bit about what you think Michael Collins, what he was doing in the days leading up to the ambush, and what was his mindset like, and what do you think was going through his mind on, say, this day 100 years ago?
I'd say he had, from what we know about the history of the time, a mixture of feelings. First of all, he would have been sad, I think, because first of all, a great friend of his, Harry Boland, who had died around the 1st of August, fighting on the anti-treaty side in the Civil War, as you probably know. He and Collins were great friends, especially in 1917, 18 and all those years. And then, of course, they were love rivals for Kitty Kiernan as well. And we know that had a tough, hard effect on Michael Collins when he heard that Harry had been killed. And then, of course, Arthur Griffith, his great friend who had signed a treaty with Michael Collins, died of a brain hemorrhage in Dublin about 10 days before Michael Collins himself was killed in West Cork. So from that point of view, we know he wasn't in great form. But as well as that, then, we think his health wasn't great. There is references to him having some kind of a flu or a cold, possibly a kidney infection as well, going around West Cork on the day that he was killed. People that met him commented that he seemed to be sniffling and coughing a bit. But then, on the other side, of course, the Civil War, from his point of view, was going well. This was the 22nd of August, his final journey, and the Civil War started 2 months before in Dublin on the 28th of June with the bombardment of the forecourt. So you're talking 7-8 weeks into the Civil War when he came down on his final journey. But Collins's army, basically at the anti-treaty IRA, basically kind of driven down into parts of Cork and Kerry, and they'd landed troops off of ships along the south coast in the weeks prior to Collins coming down as well. So to most neutral observers at the time, it looked as if the Civil War would be over, but with Collins, with his side having won it by the following Christmas. But of course, after Collins was killed, then the Civil War took a completely different direction. The gloves came off and things got very nasty.
And do you think he was close to negotiating peace?
Well, there's a couple of theories as to why he came down, or a couple of reasons. As Commander-in-Chief of the National Army, he wanted to see himself what the situation was like on the ground. We know the day before he was killed, he spent going around to banks in Cork City trying to trace anti-treaty funds to starve them of their money, as well as attacking them militarily. And then there is the theory that he was trying to negotiate to meet anti-treaty officers to secretly negotiate a quick end to the civil war. Now, there is a few little bits of evidence that suggest that might have been the case, but nothing really concrete from what I've come across over the years.
Was he fearful of an ambush and that he could be, and was he fearful that he could be shot dead at any time?
I think he probably was, but sure, I mean, that's the type of life he led throughout the War of Independence in Dublin as well. Every day going around cycling a bicycle, and he being searched at checkpoints by black and tans and so on. And so many escapes, going out through skylights and roofs of houses and all this kind of carrying on. I mean, that's the way he was. And he actually said to Kitty Kieran in one of his last letters, I hope you'll forgive me for going around the way I am, but that's the way I am, and I can't do anything else. So, you know, he went through West Cork on that journey that day, and he was warned by a good few people, including his own brother Johnny, over at Sam's Cross at around 6 o'clock that evening. For God's sake, Michael, when you get into the armoured car, don't somebody shoot you. And Michael turned around and he laughed, and he said, he pointed to the yellow touring car here. He said, no, this is my bus. They're not going to shoot me in my own county. So, you know, this man, kind of the way he was, his mind operated, was different to ordinary people, I think.
He seemingly did say to somebody, if we are ambushed, we'll stand and fight.
Yeah, that's what Emmett Dalton said afterwards, the officer that was travelling around with him in the back seat, that when they were coming out from Bandon, if we are ambushed, we will stop and fight. And seemingly quite close to Béal na Bláth that evening. Dalton noticed that Michael Collins leant down and he picked his rifle off the floor of the car and put it up in his lap. And then, of course, when they reached Béal na Bláth then, and the windscreen of the touring car was shattered and the side panels were hit with bullets, Dalton gave the order, drive like hell. He roared at the driver to keep going, and Collins countermanded. He said, no, stop and we'll fight them.
If only they had driven on.
Yeah, well, we would meet a lot of military here in the museum from time to time, and they say it's standard practice in any army to drive.
Yeah,
in an ambush. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, and for those, and many people are planning on heading to West Cork this weekend to remember Michael Collins, talk to us about the standout sites that people should visit, that you would recommend people should visit.
Well, I suppose, Béal na Bláth itself, I'm not too sure what it's like today, but over the last 2 days, they were still putting the finishing touches to the memorial there, to the new development and so the renovation. So, but when that's open, obviously that's been a very important site, the ambush site itself. Michael Collins's birthplace then at Woodfield is a very special place. It doesn't get a huge amount of publicity, but I mean, when you walk over over there, it's a memorial park, if you like, and you have the building at the back where he was born, and then out at the road you have the footprint of the building that is a new farmhouse his mother built when he was 10, and of course that was burned down by the Essex Regiment during the War of Independence. And I do a lot of tours, and we've been doing them now for, as somebody pointed out to me yesterday, a quarter of a century, it's hard to believe. And I've been over there on occasion with my own people and in Woodfield, and people that I didn't know have come up to me and said that they've scattered the ashes of their loved ones over there.
Ah.
And I know the same thing has happened over at Béal na Bláth as well. And then you have sites, you have the famous you have Sam's Cross up the road and the famous Four Oz pub, and Michael Collins went in there the day he was shot. And of course, Peter Kuehn, who runs the establishment this year, has commissioned a new stout called the Big Fella to kind of mark the centenary. And then you have the Michael Collins' mother's birthplace across the road from the pub, and you have the Seamus Murphy Memorial there as well, which was unveiled by Tom Barry in 1965, which was remarkable because he'd taken the anti-treaty side in the Civil War, and yet it was prepared all those years later to come back and unveil a monument to Michael Collins. And then that day, of course, in 1965, one of the members of the committee up on the platform was Tom Hales, who on the day of the ambush was the anti-treaty commander at Béal na Bláth. So you have all these amazing stories. And then, of course, you have our own museum out here at Castleview, and we do 3 live presentations every day, and we've one of the top collections in the country at this stage of memorabilia and personal items connected to Collins. And outside, we have a recreation of the ambush site with the military vehicles, full-size replicas and so on. And then you have the Michael Collins house down in Clonakilty, run by the council, and you have the they've recently got on loan
the diaries.
Yeah. As well. Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff. And then you have the different sites around the town. You have number 25 Pierce Street there. It's the ladies' fashion shop at the moment in Clonakilty. And Michael Collins went in there the day he was shot because he'd heard two of his nieces were in there, Mary and Kitty Collins. They were 10 and 11. And they'd been sent in by Johnny, Michael's brother, earlier on that morning to get measured up for school uniforms. And of course, Michael had a tremendous love of his nephews and nieces. And he stopped the convoy at around 6:30 in Clonakilty that evening outside of number 25 Pierce Street where the girls were waiting. And Michael went into the shop, and when one of them saw him coming, she started running around the kitchen table from him because he was always tickling them and so on. But eventually he caught her up anyway in his arms, Kitty Collins, age 10, and she was struggling and kicking. And he was about to give her a big kiss in the cheek, and she said, "Put me down, Uncle Michael, I'm too old to be kissed."
Ah.
And he died 2 hours later.
Regretted that, I imagine, in future years.
Yeah, she lived to be a ripe old age, and she always had always tugged at her heartstrings.
Bless.
Imagine that was the last thing I said to Uncle Michael. And actually, she would become the mother of Nora Owen and Mary Benatti, two former politicians.
Who are very, very proud of their links to Michael Collins. By the way, you mentioned the redevelopment work that's going on at Béal na Bláth. What's your feeling on what they've done?
To be honest, I was over there the other evening with a coach, and we managed to get in to look at the site. I'm a small bit concerned about maybe the parking area has been slightly restricted there for people pulling in. But look, that's something that can be tweaked afterwards. Any if we need.
No,
to
we have a number of listeners pointing that out as well, Jim, because you know the council tell us that you know part of their work was the installation of additional parking, and a number of listeners are pointing out that they who know the area well that there's less parking.
Well, I actually sent in an email to the council in January when I saw the plans, and I was a small bit concerned about that. When looking at Kilmichael Ambush site, I think there's a lot more parking there than what appears to be in the new design of Béal na Bláth. But I'm sure they'll want to get this weekend over with first.
And
of
they
all.
Can
and
tweak.
I looked at it the other evening. There could be more space put at the Béal na Bláth crossroads site for parking, and also it could be extended up towards the bend and end.
Absolutely.
So they might have to tweak the whole thing slightly afterwards.
Okay, and what do you think Michael Collins would make of the Ireland of today?
Well, that's one thing I would never do is try and speak for Michael Collins because he was such a complex figure and all of that. But a lot of people have been asking me there over the last few days what is his legacy. And I think his legacy is this fantastic country we have. And I think I always ask myself the question, if he wasn't there as part of that fantastic generation that gave us our freedom, would we have what we have today?
He's a key
figure. Could he have been done without? And my opinion is that he couldn't. He was just this one of these leaders that comes along once every 1,000 years in the country's history, I think. And I think we need to remember him this weekend, commemorate him and celebrate his life as well, I suppose.
And then never forget him, because and never forget that entire generation. I mean, even listening to you talking about what he said to Kitty Kiernan, you know, apologising to her, this is my life. It's just so hard for us to even realise that's the way they had to live.
Yeah. I
mean, they were very different times.
Definitely. I'm concerned the dog's life in Dublin during the War of Independence, going around from different houses every night and, you know, at any moment he could be searched and so on. And he kept that kind of a life going for, for a couple of years. And then even over in London afterwards during the treaty negotiations, he was still very concerned about his security. And even Sir John Lavery, who did his painting over in London, commented afterwards that while he was doing the painting, Michael Collins sat facing the door in Lavery's studio and he had a gun inside in his pocket. So, he paid Michael Collins a big price for his country, and I suppose in the end paid the ultimate price.
Yeah, and somebody else is pointing out about Michael Collins' connection to the Kerry Blue Terrier. He wanted that to be the national dog of Ireland.
That's right.
Yeah.
And there is actually a cup that the Irish Kennel Club have that Michael Collins presented to them in 1922. I've actually touched it.
Have you? Yeah.
And as well as that, we do the final journey of Michael Collins here for visitors now and again. And there was a story that the evening Michael Collins was shot, he just met Sean Hales down in the Munster Arms, you know, Dinley's Hotel in Bandon, and the convoy was pulling up out of Kilbrogan Hill, and Michael Collins looked sideways, and there was a local woman, Annie O'Leary, and she was standing with a Kerry Blue Dog on a leash, and Michael Collins put his hand out over the side of the car, and he went to the dog, and they drove on. So we can be fairly sure one of the last dogs he would have seen before
was a Kerry Blue.
Was a Kerry Blue.
And that is appropriate. Shane said, wouldn't it be lovely if they had a big screen at Béal na Bláth on Sunday afternoon showing a speech given by the late Michael Collins?
It'd be a lovely touch.
How busy are you at the Michael Collins Centre, Tim?
We're very busy. Now, it's been a mixed season up to now. I think, you know, COVID still affects a lot of Irish people that went abroad this year because obviously they've been confined to base for 2 years. But the last couple of weeks now have been very, very busy. And especially the last 10 days there, it's been... I get the same vibe as we got back 20 years ago when we unveiled the statue down in Clonakilty when Liam Neeson came over, and that was a fantastic occasion. So this is the same sort of a feeling about it, I have to say.
OK, well, listen, will you be in Béal na Bláth on Sunday, Tim? You will?
I will, and yeah. We're also taking a coach. Now, it's fully booked out at 5 o'clock on Monday, the actual anniversary, and we're heading west to Lissavard, and we're having a special mass there at 5:30, where in Michael Collins' local church, where he used to go to mass. We're going over to the birthplace then at Woodfield to pay our respects, and we're driving to Béal na Bláth, and we'll be there at 7:30, and we're going to remain there until 8:15, so we'll be actually there at the time, 100 years on to the minute.
Wow.
That he was shot. So I'm kind of looking forward to
that.
Yeah,
that's an incredible thing to do. It really is. Listen, Tim, I could talk to you all day. You are absolutely fascinating on this subject. So we thank you for taking time out to join us today. Good morning to you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Good morning. Bye bye. That is Tim Crowley, who runs the Michael Collins Centre in Dara, just outside Clann.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.